don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Kevin Bean.
Can anyone smell that?
Ralph the host, I was thinking like, this guy's a little bit of a tool at first.
Yeah, that's it. No, yeah. What's that? Yeah, I tell ya.
Can anyone smell that?
Well, you know,
our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
Can I ask you a question that you can't answer?
Hey, everybody, what's up with Kevin? I've been a big fan, long time him.
Hey, you want to party on my
I'm now.
That's a very rude thing to say, Kevin.
Our feature presentation.
Sorry, sometimes I just let my mouth go.
Yeah, Kevin.
I'm going to miss this president just from the standpoint of there's so much comedy to be had every time he opens his mouth.
It's a beautiful thing.
It really, true. Whoever's the next president is not going to be nearly as fun because they're going to be able to, I don't know, put together a sentence.
No,
a thought.
We won't have this much comedy in our lifetime. There's no question. We've peaked. You're right about that.
We really hit the mother load when it comes to presidents.
He's a gooder.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the world famous K-Rock, and it is Monday, the 22nd of January.
I want to give a big shout out to Camp Zaytun in Erbil, Iraq. Just got an email from a soldier over there who's listening to the streaming this morning. And I wanted to mention it first thing out of the gate because you know how our streaming's been working lately. It probably won't be working in a few minutes.
Well, that's very true.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for the streaming radio. I've been away from California since late 2004. I've been listening to K-Rock and Kevin and Bean as long as I can remember. It really sucks being in Iran Iraq and away from you guys.
Dude, we're in Iran?
The music that other radio stations play across the country is getting really old. I just got settled at my new camp in Iraq. This is my second year over here. How about that?
Wow.
Streaming radio is awesome. It helps me get some variety in my life. Keep up the good work. And that is Zebulon Zeverson, who has written it.
Okay, what's him?
Sounds like an alien.
What's the name really?
Zebulon is his first name, and Zeverson is his last name.
Okay, that camp's been taken over. Somebody needs to let military know.
This is what I love. He's writing all the way from Iraq, by the way. Oh, P.S. Lisa, you're hot.
Dang.
So, essentially, yeah. So, around the world, Lisa, young men and women in uniform are thinking about you.
I never thought this would happen to me. I'm
pretty
so
bizarre.
Proud.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Your father, as we call it.
You're a pinup girl now.
Exactly.
Apparently.
And a green belt.
Oh!
Mofo.
She brought in her green belt.
Every time I get a belt, I bring it in. It's been almost a year.
Has it really? It seems like it was a month or two ago you were telling us about an upgrade in your belt.
No.
We were talking about how long it was going to be till you became a black belt. Remember that?
I think it was March. Well, you mock me regularly if that's what you're remembering, but no. I think it was last March that I got my belt.
So what does green mean? Is that...
I can really actually kill you.
Seriously, though.
No, but
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But can you rip Kevin's heart out with your fingertips?
I can crush his trachea with my leopard paw. I can slam his nose into his brain. I can crack his sternum.
But really?
Punch your floating rib and puncture your lung. It's crazy what I can do.
I would hate it if she punched my floating rib.
At least, speaking of the floating rib, I've got something else you need to do with it besides punch it.
I mean, they really should register at me at this point, but they wait until you're like brown belt.
But seriously.
But yeah.
Green is like you could beat up Girl Scouts, right? I mean, that's green.
Dude, seriously.
But seriously. Green.
I mean, I can't, you know, the thing is.
How do they go? What's the rankings? And the colors.
Oh, you start with white.
Okay.
Yellow, purple, blue, blue with a green stripe, green, green with a brown stripe.
Pink.
Brown.
Oh.
Then black.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd ever get to black. I mean, it's such a jump from...
So green
with a brown stripe to brown, it's a huge jump.
So it's green with a green and then green with a brown stripe and then brown and then black.
Yeah.
Wow. How long do you think you're going to stick with it, Lisa?
Well,
you seem to enjoy it.
I love it. So it for me, it's never been about, you know, oh, I got to get the next belt. It's just learning and practicing and keeping your mind sort of moving.
If I could just butt in here, I really do think that she's going to take us out one day. And she's really had it and she's learning how to kick our asses. Because really, it's just her with all of us.
Right. And that's why she's going.
Only female presence, and she has to put up with all of our BS, and one of these days she's going to go crazy.
You might be my motivation.
And she's going to do a roundhouse kick to the head and just knock my gigantic head right off.
And then your head will hit someone else, yes. And then they'll fall over and they'll hit someone. You'll go down smashed. Like a bunch of pins.
Kevin's head is a pretty easy target, though. You don't really need much training to hit that. You can pretty much just swing anywhere in that room and hit his head.
I could have done that 2 belts ago.
The question is whether the Earth gets knocked out of orbit if Kevin's head gets knocked off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, do I want to hurt all of humanity?
Exactly.
You got to keep that in mind.
As a practical matter, if I came running at you, you could really just knock me to the ground?
Oh, totally.
But seriously?
Yeah.
I know, but seriously?
Yeah.
Well, I know that's what you're saying, but I'm saying seriously.
Yeah.
I get
if you had if you had the confidence to use the skills you've learned, right?
I mean, if I'm willing to actually you hurt you. Yeah.
If you didn't panic.
It's Kevin running at me. Why am I going to panic?
How dare you? I had a couple questions for Lisa earlier, and I want to know if she can address this. Is this going to be safe for her to fight Alex in the pillow fight undercard, or does she have to register this pillow as like a registered weapon?
Good point.
I have to admit,
the drink boxing match.
I have to admit that pillow fighting is kind of a gap in my training.
Is it?
Oh. Okay. A little bit. I think.
She's a ringer.
But control is part of the training, so I'll just use my massive amount of control.
I see.
And it'll be okay.
And that'll help you overcome in a pillow fight.
Well, then I won't hurt her.
I see.
Well. You have an advantage. You have a lot more stamina than she will, too. I mean, she'll poop out early, and you're used to being in, a sparring
endurance situations. This test, no kidding, started at 9 and ended at 3:45, and we were on our feet doing stuff the whole time.
To get your green belt?
Yeah.
No, it's noon. I'm like, okay, lunch.
I know.
Mother effer.
We couldn't drink water or use the bathroom for like the first 4 hours. And you know how you get so thirsty.
Of course.
That by the time you can drink water, there's not enough water in the world.
Yeah.
There's just not.
9 to 4.
Yeah, it was all about endurance. And the very last thing we did was spar, because the idea is that when you actually are in a fight with someone, you get that adrenaline rush, and then you're exhausted immediately, and then can you still fight?
Wow. And the answer was yes?
Yeah.
You're such a nice little thing.
Yeah. I'm a good kicker. I got to work on my punches, but I deliver a pretty solid kick, as it turns out.
Well, congratulations, Lisa.
Thank you so much. It was a proud moment. I almost wept.
A green belt. Okay, if I just take your green belt, then will I have a green belt?
No.
No? You have to earn it? Okay.
It's like carved in with my blood.
I see. I didn't realize that you carved a belt.
I did.
It's made out of cloth, by the way.
Well, it's another skill.
All right. Let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
This morning we're going to tell you about K-Rock's World Tour 2007, destination number 4, and I do believe you're going to want to hear that at 7:15 this morning.
Really? Good one?
So make sure you're tuning in, yes.
Okay.
Spent the weekend putting it together, Bean and I.
It's
very difficult.
Really?
Sure. Yeah, very difficult.
Okay.
Well, just being on the phone with a travel agent alone hour after hour trying to get it all worked out is tough.
I can imagine.
So also on this morning's show, we got Signholder Nick's party recap.
Yeah.
Oh.
I can tell you this. I got a phone call from Nick. What time was it?
11:30 noon, midnight.
Oh,
midnight.
No.
And he left a message. And it's
was it very quiet in his house?
I don't want to say, but absolutely. The only voice, the single voice that I heard behind him was Psycho Mike.
I worried about Nick's party all weekend long because he had really high hopes for a lot of people showing up. I mean, he was telling us 50 people and 20 of them were going to be hot chicks.
Yeah.
They're going to be super hot chicks, Bean.
God, I can't wait to hear.
Were they super hot?
Don't tell me. Don't tell me.
Wait and find out.
All right. Were you the only one there? Don't tell me.
No.
Well, Omar's with me. I'll tell you that.
All right. So there's at least three.
Did you nail Nick's mom?
And Nick's parents.
Don't tell me.
How dare you? That's gross. also on this morning's show, we are going to talk about 24. And does it make Muslims look bad?
I've also heard it's a right-wing conspiracy, the whole show designed to get us all worked up and so that we give up more of our civil liberties willingly.
It's possible, and I'm just going to suggest this. If you want to reject it, you can, that this is a TV show. It's possible that that's what this is, and that's pretty much all it is. But some people are saying that it shows Muslims in a bad light.
Hmm.
So we got to talk about that on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Margaret Perrin was back on Trading Spouses.
Oh.
And she's the insane God warrior.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was on. Her. How many years ago was that? Two or three?
Maybe two?
Yeah,
at the
probably
most,
2 years.
Right?
I am really kicking my own ass that I forgot to TiVo that, by the way, and I did not see it, and I really wanted to, and I forgot.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord. My Holy Spirit. I rebuke this in the name of the Lord. Talks to me. God needs you, and he wants you.
He wants you.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
Please, put God in your heart.
Heart in your heart.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
She's not a Christian! No, no! This is tainted! I don't want it.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
In Jesus' name, I pray.
In Jesus' name. I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
Every dark-sided person, get out of my house. If you believe in Jesus, you can stay here.
Don't stay in my house.
If you're dark-sided.
Dark-sided.
They will be on my prayer list the day I die. Get out of my house.
I rebuke it in the name of the Lord.
How does she rule?
She doesn't rebuke food, I'll tell you that.
No, she certainly doesn't.
She said about she was tearing up the money when she said, I don't want it.
Yes.
It's tainted.
It's tainted. She was tearing up the check for, what was it, $50,000?
I think
that.
So, yeah.
Something like that.
What about a television show that portrays Christians as looking bad? What about that, by the way?
Yeah, yeah, like her. Yeah, that's bad news. Also, we got to find a trainer for the King of Mexico. Our drink boxing match is still on, so that's coming up. It's a sport that we've created where you drink and box and drink and box and drink and box.
That's a brilliant idea.
Thank you. And so anyway, we're looking for a trainer for Dave. Ralph's got his own trainer, but we're looking for the King of Mexico's trainer. And I don't know if you saw any of the football over the weekend, but what a great game it was for the Colts and the New England Patriots. Colts came out ahead.
Yeah, I heard.
So glad to see that. The Patriots had won 3 Super Bowls out of the last 5.
And so you didn't want him to win?
Well, I mean, really.
They've had their moment. Is
Tom Brady has won 3 Super Bowls.
But he's hot.
And Peyton Manning, none. Never even been to the Super Bowl. Funny, though. Funny. Have you seen his commercials with the cell phone and the mustache?
No.
Oh,
really?
Very funny.
Well, comedy goes far.
He's a really funny guy. So anyway, the Bears also won, and that means that we're going to talk to Money today. Former sports guy Money, whose Bears are going to the Super Bowl for the first time in 21 years.
Wow.
So that should that's coming up this morning. And let's see, that's about it. Let's take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next.
Well, they've never made a bad song, have they?
No, they haven't.
That's Skin and Bones on K-Rock. Ralph is here with our first Showbiz Beat of the week. Ralph, what the hell's going on?
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Stomp the Yard.
Really?
Where are you from?
Where are you from?
Still number one at the box office this weekend, made an additional $13.3 million, just nosing out Night at the Museum for the number one slot. Night at the Museum made $13 million, made it number two at the box office this weekend. Dreamgirls, number three. Then The Hitcher, in its debut, made $8.2 million, good enough to make it number four. Pursuit of Happiness was 5. Freedom Riders with Hilary Swank was 6. Pan's Labyrinth was 7. Children of Men at 8. The Queen 9. Arthur and the Invisibles, number 10.
What the hell are they doing?
They're stomping the yard. Where are you from?
Where are you from? A lot of baby news in the celebrity world this weekend. Darman Greg star Jenna Elfman is expecting her first child with her husband of 16 years, actor Bodie Elfman.
Ooh, alien baby.
Besides being an actor, he's also the nephew of composer Danny Elfman. And, of course, Jenna and Bodie are both active in the Church of Scientology.
You could say super active.
What are your crimes, Kevin? What are your crimes? You look like a rapist to me.
I've never been screamed at before by a guest.
You look like a rapist. Are you still raping? What are your crimes? Carrie Russell, a.k.a. Felicity Porter. Mm-hmm. She and her fiancé, Shane Dreary, are expecting their first child sometime this summer. Her most recent role, I guess, was in Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible 3 last year.
Oh, that's right. She was the kidnapped one.
She was the co-agent who he had to rescue in the beginning of the film.
Yeah, that didn't go so well.
Before her brain blew up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was that.
Tom Cruise also active in the Church of Scientology.
Super active, you could say.
What is your crime, Kevin? You look like a poopy licker to me.
Sorry.
Are you still a poopy licker? Let's get childish about it. That's what they do. James Brown, dead and still not buried.
What? How long are you going to do this story? Why
Until
won't they
bury him?
Why won't they bury him?
Well, the good news is he's missing now as well.
What are you talking
Somebody
about?
Somebody stole James Brown.
That or James got up and walked off.
Really?
The Augusta Chronicle says over the weekend, James's body was moved from his climate-controlled room at his home in Beech Island, South Carolina, and no one will say where it is or why.
a couple of potheads. Dude, let's steal James Brown. That'd be awesome.
Weekend at Jamie's, that's what they're calling it.
Oh, no.
Apparently, there's a problem because one of the wills that he filed was recently sent into probate court and contested without mention of his son in it.
Right.
And now part of the family said they want to turn the house into a Graceland-style attraction with James's body in an above-ground mausoleum that you could go visit if you went to the house. And half of the family doesn't want that, so apparently they're fighting over the body now, and someone has moved the body.
Dude.
But no one's saying who, why, or where.
Awesome.
So, you know, needs some sort of refrigeration to actually move the body and keep it intact.
Yeah, keep it intact.
Ice
That's
cream truck.
Ice cream truck killer.
Something like that. You can't just throw in the back of the station wagon and hit the road, though.
Dude, who knows?
Plan it out.
Last time something like this happened, dude was in a cave for 3 days, you know? Next thing you know, the rock was gone.
True.
Bum. All I'm saying is
James Brown is coming
church
back.
Church of wow! Coming to a church near you. Ah, this story has got Bean written all over it.
Oh, business.
It's got
bad.
Celebrities,
yeah,
animal rights, and the post office all in the same story.
Wow.
I love it.
Pamela Anderson has sent the U.S. Postmaster a letter asking him to deny a request for a stamp honoring the late Colonel Sanders.
Oh, yeah. They don't like the KFC. Yeah.
Apparently, Colonel Sanders people have asked him to be considered to have a stamp made in his likeness because he's a famous American.
Right.
And Pammy and the rest of the pedophiles are slamming the U.S. Postal Office, demanding that they not consider him for a stamp because, of course, you know, KFC reportedly tortures their chickens and puts them out of their misery before they put them in your spork.
A lot of I have two thoughts on that. One is a lot of less than perfect people have been honored with a postage stamp.
Yeah.
And I forgot what the second one was. I forgot what the second one was.
You have a second thought on that?
You said you had several thoughts.
You had two thoughts,
I think,
you said.
I think the second thought was, for folks who don't know, it's not just that they serve chicken. It's the way that they house the chickens prior to them being executed that PETA and others have problems with. They don't have the same problem with other chicken restaurants.
And everyone knows, if he doesn't get a stamp, that will all stop. No stamp, Colonel Sanders. Chickens are set free. There's a direct correlation in the logic
all
there.
All chickens released?
That I think makes perfect sense to me.
I think she's just trying to continue to call attention to them not falling into industry standards with Popeyes and the other restaurants.
I think she needs to
give the chickens a little bit of room when they live.
I think she needs to shut up, show her cans, and marry more white trash. That's what she does best.
That is what she does best.
No way. Uh-oh, sausage.
Just stick to our strengths, shall we? And the Britain's News of the World newspaper says Heather Mills has agreed to a $63 million paycheck in her divorce settlement from Sir Paul McCartney.
$63 million.
Generous ever.
They worked it out, and it comes to close to $2,000 an hour for the four-year marriage.
Oh my God. Well, she's a high-paid hooker.
Which the tabloid says was her hourly fee that she took when she was banging guys back in the early 90s. Would have been my joke, too.
Sorry.
It's okay. Salma Hayek, you know, we talk all the time about celebrity saving lives. This is the first time a celebrity pet may have saved a life.
Oh, excellent.
Salma Hayek says she owes her life to her dog. Before the Golden Globe Awards last week, she took a nap on her sofa, and somehow the gas in the stove was on without the flame going, without the pilot.
No.
Interesting.
Gas filled her house, and she woke up to find her dog biting her sleeve and trying to pull her out of the house.
How about that?
When she woke up, she had a headache. She realized she could smell the gas, realized it had been left on, and she opened up the house, aired it out, but then got dressed and went on to win two Golden Globes for her Ugly Betty project.
That's an amazing story.
And her dog saved her life.
Now, Kevin, you're going to dispute that because it's a celebrity dog, right? So there's no way it happened, right?
That dog should get some kind of an award for saving her, for God's sake.
Should. She got the Golden Bowl or something. Maybe give dogs. Give his balls back or something. Something special. And Alec Baldwin's out there looking for Miss Wright.
Is he?
He's tired of being single. He wants to settle down again and find the right woman. But he said it's hard, being Alec Baldwin, to know what women really want you for.
Sure.
They want you for, you know, your money, your fame. So he said he's figured out a way to all around that. When he meets a woman, he disarms her right away by saying he's a different person, but people say all the time he looks like Alec Baldwin.
Really?
Then he can always judge by their response what they think of him. He says the response will either be a simple, oh, I hate that guy, or who the hell is he? He said those are the two women you can divine by. You can say.
But can't they see that he's Alec Baldwin as he's saying that?
Isn't there a third group that says, yes, you are?
I'm guessing he was joking in this interview. I'm just guessing, but...
You never know.
I'm pretty sure.
All right.
I think in this case, I know.
All right.
Yeah. A lot of people.
What balls this man has.
balls. Happy celebrity birthday to Diane Lane, actress. Of course, been working since she was a little girl. You ever saw
funny?
Wonderful,
bad,
beautiful romance. I don't know. She was like a 13-year-old girl starring in this movie with Laurence Olivier, and I can't remember the name of it now. And don't email me because I'll look it up myself and I'll be fine. Thanks so much. So she's 42 years old today. DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Yes.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Do you think he bothers watching the movies anymore? Do you think he was first in line to go see the new Will Smith movie,
Pursuit of Happiness?
Or is it just burn his gut too bad? Just
they seem
that
to still stay in touch and be friends.
Sure, he needs the money.
Show up every once in a while.
Hey, Will, I got a parking ticket. Can you send me a check? Balthazar Getty, most recently seen, of course, on Alias as Thomas Grace, and he's on that show that Lisa watches, too, I think.
Brothers and Sisters.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist.
32 years old today, and Beverly Mitchell, who stars as Lucy on Seventh Heaven. She's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I got to tell you, Trading Spouses is a show that was on Fox for a long time. We had LaQuisha cover, and I haven't watched it in a while. I don't know that it's been back until this past Friday night, when one of our favorite people of all time was featured in an all-new episode. So we have LaQuisha back on the phone. Good morning, LaQuisha.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How you doing?
Good, thank you. If people haven't seen The Trading Spouses, how do you describe Marguerite?
Well, the show basically it takes place as follows. They take two families that are ready to swap out the mother and wives of their families, and one wife goes to the new family, and the other one goes to the other family, and they try to exist for a week and in different cultural settings and try to adapt and try to exist.
Okay.
Now, Marguerite, she was on last year, and she was I guess you call her a holy roller.
Mm-hmm.
She talked to God, and God talked to her, and she believed that everyone had to pretty much think the way she did. And if you didn't, you were on the dork side, as she would call it.
She said dork, but I'm pretty sure she meant dark.
Whatever.
Okay.
Same thing.
Okay.
And so anyway, she's back again, and this time Marguerite is being sent to a brand new family to see if she can be as crazy as she was, because I think they need the ratings, frankly, and she's the most famous person to ever come off that show.
Yeah, by far.
Now, when we meet Marguerite, remember the end of last year's episode, she took the $50,000 and tore it up right in front of the camera, saying it was tainted and it was from the dork side and she didn't want it, and get out of my house in God's name, I pray.
She didn't want $50,000.
Because it was tainted with the dork side and it had psychics and gorgons attached to it. Turns out after that show wrapped up, she said, on second thought, I'll take that $50,000.
Anybody grab that check that I just ripped up? Where'd that go?
She pasted it back together and cashed it, and she used it to get gastric bypass surgery.
I had the gastric bypass surgery. As of today, I lost 72 and a half pounds. Cha-ching! I really want to jump up and do a cheer.
But you can't because you're still fat.
How much? Did she say 32 pounds?
72 pounds.
72.
And she's still fat.
She's enormous.
Yeah.
She's a big old fat white woman.
Tell me she hasn't calmed down, though. Tell me she speaks to God daily and everybody is on the dork side.
Well, she said when she watched the episode, she was embarrassed by how quickly she flew off the handle. She realized she needs to work a little on her patience.
Oh.
But she was really proud of the way she spent the money. And once again, she thinks she's better than everybody.
The surgery has helped me to enjoy life. I think out of everybody that's ever had their money on Trading Spouses, I think mine was like put toward life.
Hers was put toward life.
Everybody else?
Everyone else killed themselves. Sad but true. So they send crazy Marguerite, they send her to St. Petersburg, Florida, to live with the Brown Malone family.
Okay.
Made up of LaToya and Abassi. And LaToya and Abassi, I figured Fox says, how do we find somebody crazier than Marguerite to put in? Let's find some radical African-centric black people to send them to make her look better, because we're going to send them to some crazy black people. So they send them to LaToya and Abassi's house, and they not only are a very pro-African, but they have their own pro-African television show on the cable access.
Right.
They are black power to the 10th degree.
Yep. Fantastic.
And they got a black belt in black power. That's how black they are.
Wow.
And LaToya, she says she's ready to get what's coming to her.
As an African here in America, I want everything that was taken from us during slavery back, because
I know what's due to us as a people, and it's called reparations.
All right, listen up. First of all, you're not an African in America. Your ass ain't never been to Africa.
Right.
You're born in Florida. You are a black Floridian.
Right.
You are not an African.
But she was a slave.
No, she wasn't.
Oh, she wasn't. That's right.
I got a cousin like this waiting for reparations.
Right.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're sitting on their black ass, not working, waiting for the check to come, the reparation check.
Right.
Let me tell you a little something. Ain't never coming. Never got. You can crap in one hand and wait for the reparation check in the other hand. See which one fill up quicker.
Yeah.
Not coming. Give up that dream. Get a job.
LaQuisha, your cousin's probably going to vote for Barack Obama and maybe hope that now's the time.
Nobody getting the check. There's okay. No reparations coming. But LaToya, she wants more than that. She wants her little community there in St. Petersburg, Florida. She wants some changes.
My vision would be to build Africa in our community. You go to the store, it's a black face greeting you. You go down the street to the rec center, it's all black, and it's our rec center.
Our rec center. Let me tell you something, LaToya. There's already too much Africa in the black communities. Because if you ever seen Africa, they got a lot of hunger there and a lot of dirt. I think there's too much goddamn Africa in some of our neighborhoods. We need more America in our neighborhoods, less Africa.
Yeah, I guess so.
Less flies and hunger and dirt and the odd smells that come out of some of the buildings.
Yeah.
Shut up, LaToya.
Wow, so she's the crazy one this show.
Yeah, well, no, she ain't the crazy one. Abasi, that's the crazy one.
Ah.
She looks tame compared to her husband.
Okay.
Abasi Baruti is his name that he gave himself as an African name instead of Jamil Malone. That's his, what we call slave name.
Oh no.
It was given to him by slave masters?
Yeah.
How about
apparently,
that?
Apparently he was in Roots and and Edward Asner came by and gave him a slave name.
I think what happened is his parents, who were Americans, gave him the name Jamil when he was born in a United States hospital. That's what happened, LaQuisha.
And he took on the name Abasi Baruki.
Okay.
Because he needs some attention, apparently. Right. He gotta be, look at me. I'm black and I need to stand out in the black community somehow.
Right.
Here's Abasi teaching his 7-year-old daughter Shock, which is short for Shock Meta.
Oh, that's her name?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Here's Abasi teaching his 7-year-old girl about the ways of the world.
Shot. Let me explain a couple things to you. Number one, the people that matter in terms of control over your life and my life are white, and they anti-black.
They're white, and they're anti-black.
Well, that girl's got a good start.
Oh, dear Lord. There should be some sort of child abuse for parents who teach their children prejudice at 7 years old.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's bad enough. It's probably going to happen on its own anyway.
So,
you don't got to be teaching it.
Why did this couple open up their homes to white Marguerite Perrin for trading spouses? It would seem like they would look at her like the devil before she steps in the front door.
Because while they're waiting for the reparations check to come, they're willing to take the $50,000 check from the white corporation called Fox.
$50,000 white dollars.
Now take those white dollars. No problem. Look, if you really want Africa in your community, then don't take Fox's money. Just raise beans someplace with an ox and a yoke and go to the well and get yourself some water like the rest of the tribes do.
Right.
Shut up. Well, Marguerite moves into the house and Abasi starts farting and burping. And Marguerite, a little known fact about Marguerite, she cannot stand conversations about poop.
Oh, is that right?
Or farting or burping. She said she got a weak stomach and she can't handle it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And once Abasi smells some weakness on the white woman, he starts hurting her where she lives. And the next thing you know, well, you'll hear yourself.
When I go to the bathroom, I straight up disrespect the toilet.
Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. I'm telling you, it makes me sick.
I'm just warning you. I got no love for the toilet. When I get done, I melt it down. I burn it down.
Okay, let's not talk about it.
I drive a Hiroshima in it.
Don't talk about it. I'm serious.
I'm Nagasaki. You understand what I'm saying?
Don't talk. I'm telling you. See, you can't. I'm telling you. I got a really weak stomach. Oh, man, not again. Oh. Really, I got bad drop heaves.
God.
Well, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Yeah.
She's disrespected the toilet just as much as he is.
Yeah, she has a low tolerance for poopy talk.
She starts throwing up immediately.
She warned him. She said, look, stop talking about this. I can't take it.
I straight up disrespect.
Like, oh, I dropped Nagasaki bomb in the toilet. I make Hiroshima in the toilet.
Now I like him.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. They living together, and the minute she gets off the plane, he starts in with the, you don't know, the black experience, and the white people are telling us what to do for hundreds of thousands of years, and we're going to do what's right, and blah, 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 blah. And she's actually very sort of patient and respectful of his viewpoints and just says, well, I don't see things that way. And he won't have it. He won't have it until she grows dreadlocks, puts on an African flag, and marches in the Martin Luther King Day parade. That's all he's going to accept from this woman.
Right.
I wish you could be black for a week. You'd probably kill yourself.
What?
Yeah.
I would not, because I could tell you something. I'd be hip-hopping and having a good old time eating gizzards.
All right. Well, maybe she's not the best representative for race relations to be dealing with, Obasi. I don't think maybe her point of view is going to be represented well.
Don't never ever trust Whitey.
But Obasi says the best way for her to learn is to come down and watch him tape his public access talk show, which he deals solely with black issues and talks about how they need to make an African state here in America.
Mm-hmm.
And he's willing to open her eyes to that.
I have come to realize, Marguerite, ain't heard a word I said at all. So today, I'm going to go to the TV show that we do, and she welcome to join me if she wants to. But honestly, I don't give a damn.
Well, there you go.
Excellent.
He don't really give a damn one way or the other. He's like, okay, where is my check?
Yeah, exactly.
I've done one day with this woman. Well, Marguerite says, I'd be interested to see your show. I'd like to learn something about your point of view. What's the show like?
So it's just a black forum only?
Not only.
There have been white people that have gone on the show and discussed things?
Oh, not to my knowledge.
Oh, no. No, ma'am.
Not only.
No, not just black people. There have been no white people on. We have that going for us, so it's a fair imbalance. Oh, dear Lord. Well, as you can imagine, she's on her best behavior, and I was so impressed for 57 minutes of the show.
Uh-oh.
But then she can't take no more.
Fantastic.
She just has a meltdown because she don't like people raising her voice to her. And that's all about to do. He just tells his point louder and louder and louder until you agree with him.
No, I'm not on the line.
I asked a question.
You're not going to come in this house and dictate to me what's over the line.
I respect you.
The line doesn't change.
Why you sat there?
There will never be a second
line. I will respect
you. Why you never had the ability to force their line up on people for hundreds of thousands of years? For the last 600 years at least, white people have had the ability to force what they want on their
side. Yes, sir. But you will not raise your voice at me.
I'll raise my voice when I want to raise my voice.
And guess what? I'm not listening.
What?
You're listen, moving, but I don't hear
listen
you.
Because you're not listening, don't mean I'm going
to
listen to you.
I'm really want to go.
Then I'm supposed to kowtow to you. You're not going to dictate nothing in this house.
Oh, God. Why did you put me here?
Well, she's talking to God again. Oh, God, why did you put me here with the black people? So finally she broke down and started talking to God. So I think next week, finally, we're going to see the real Marguerite come back to the surface, and then she's going to start screaming about psychics and Gorgon.
I was hoping it was a two-parter.
It is fantastic. A two-parter.
All right, LaQuisha, good work.
All righty.
Bye now.
First, though, Friday night, I regret that I, Bean, could not be there in person.
Oh, it was so fun.
But Window Licker, I don't think you were there either, Kim.
Oh.
Window Licker Nick, Carrick Lister Nick, had a party, invited all of us to it. And I guess some of us went to his place on Friday night, right?
Psycho Mike Omar.
Yep.
Went to the party.
Yeah.
Nick promised us 20 hot chicks and 50 people total.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Well.
Where does he live? Long Beach?
La Crescenta.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys show up at what time? Because I know you were going to the Jimmy Kimmel show because he was having Slayer on.
Turns out I couldn't make it.
You couldn't make it to Slayer?
No, because I had to go to Nick's party. And Nick's party preempted Slayer. Let me tell you, my fears were true, that if I were to wait to go till after I went to see Slayer on Kimmel,
right,
that the party might be over.
Right.
And it's a good thing that I decided to go that way, because the party would have definitely been over.
Nick told us it was going to rage. He said it was going to be 2, 3 a.m.
Well, you know when you go to a party, so I'm, you know, I get there first. You know, it's really pitch black dark, so I couldn't see the address, right? So, you know, you just listen for the music.
Right, of course.
Right? That's what you do.
Follow
right?
the sound.
Yeah, I'm just like, Mike's driving up, and I'm just walking around like a dumbass. I'm like, I don't know where the hell this party is at, dude. And then we finally see some people in the backyard or whatever, so we finally
see,
find
that's a bad sign. If you get in the neighborhood and don't hear anything, get back in your car and drive home.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
Well, it's hard because La Crescenta is such a party town.
It is. That's
that
true.
Every house was going off, and it just drowned out Nick.
Sure,
oh, wait,
know.
No. It was completely silent. It's like the freaking Twilight Zone. So Omar and I meet up in the front yard, and we get to the front door, and I say, let's do it, man. Let's knock on the door and see how this goes.
Hey, Omar.
You just hugged Omar. You've never met him.
Yeah, I hugged him. That's what I do.
That's your policy?
There's going to be so much hugging tonight. It's going to be a hug fest. You want to come inside?
Of course.
Wow.
So that's how he starts it off.
Wow, it's going to be a hug fest.
That's a welcome.
Okay.
So we get in there. There's nobody in there.
Nobody?
Yeah.
None.
Nick's brother.
Zero people.
There's Nick's brother.
Hot chicks.
Wait, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. What time is this again?
9:30.
And you're the first people to show up.
He said 8:30 party starts. Omar and I said, figure if we get there an hour after,
sure,
it'll be
pretty raging. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Nobody there. So we have to go to, which turns out to be our steady the entire night.
It's cool if Omar and I double your mom, right?
It is not cool in the least.
His mom and dad were going to be there. And we were asking him how hot his mom was, and we realized at that point how uncomfortable that talk made him.
Yeah.
So, of course, that's what you go to.
Nick wants to let us know what he plans on doing for the rest of the night.
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight.
Omar brought a rock of yayo. It looks like some out of Escobar's personal stash.
Oh, man.
Oh,
his
no.
plan is to get high.
Not Nick.
Okay.
Hi. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Still nobody there.
At what time?
10:15.
Nobody
so,
there.
Now, so there's nobody in the yard.
Bear in mind,
house.
Though, that Nick runs with a crowd that goes fashionably late. I mean,
true.
That's the way he rolls. Let's not forget that the party probably, it's like in New York City, Kevin. You know, man, there are a lot of places this thing doesn't even get going until midnight.
Yeah, you go before midnight, you're a loser.
We're stuck in the backyard with Nick's polar opposite brother, who's like a Hesher from Portland. It's a broad scrambled in from the Pacific Northwest.
He's wearing a backpack.
Oh, man. Long weekend, bro. Good scene up there, brother. And so we're like, we got to fill some time. So we start calling Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah. My cell phone rings. It's Psycho Mike. I'm not answering that.
Hey, Kevin. It's me, Nick. Psycho Mike and Omar are here. It's good times. The party's underway. Like,
now, listen. In the background, you can't hear a single soul. I was listening to that message, and I was going, thank the Lord Jesus I didn't go to this party.
Yeah, it's awesome.
He asked me for hookers and blow. He wanted me to provide that for the night. But he was calling me at, 10:30 to ask.
You're rich, Kevin. Do you have any hookers?
Guys, Nick told us that he had done quite a bit of shopping for food and drink.
Yeah.
Did he have just a ton of stuff just sitting there just waiting for somebody to come eat and drink it?
Probably 100 beers on ice waiting.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
All right, go ahead.
And so now now we're an hour and a half in, and I'm actually starting to get a little frustrated. So now Omar and I are hitting him up. Like, what's happening, bro?
All right, they will come. It'll happen, all right? Just be cool.
They're asking him where the chicks are.
Yeah. Dude, there is one hot chick here.
Who?
Your mom.
Oh, yeah. Where's your mom?
No.
I'm going to f*** your mom in the
No, you're not.
Oh.
Mike. It's payment for going all that way. Right? He needs to be paid.
Yeah.
All right. We're almost out of time. Did anyone ever show up?
Yeah. You know, at the time we left, I mean, there was maybe 20 people there.
Yeah. We're going to have to continue this a little bit later this morning. Because I know you guys have a lot more audio.
20 people, 20 chicks, he promised. 20 hot chicks, 50 people. 20 people total, one chick so ugly she deserved a handicap placard.
Oh, Mike.
Hey, Nick.
Hi.
How do you think the party went?
I think it went fine because after they left, that's when things really got started. More people came.
Oh.
More chicks came.
After,
I'm sure.
After they left.
We were the anchor. We were the anchor.
Yeah, they were dragging the party down.
I think that started around 11-ish.
Oh, I see. So our guys were just ridiculously, stupidly early.
Very impatient.
I got
things kicked off at 11. Good thing we took off at 10:59 and 30 seconds.
I'm serious. Things kicked off
all
at
right.
11.
Well, we're going to have to talk to you a little bit later about this. We'll get more of the recap and find out just exactly what it means that things kicked off after 11.
right? By the way, I gotta say this. They gave me Jaeger shots. They talked me into taking Jaeger shots.
By the way, it wasn't like a Jaeger shot. Yeah. It was like four shots in one cup.
It was like a Jaeger
schooner.
I was in the stream with the elves, and I saw a water buffalo.
Can't talk about that yet, Ralph. It's no 701. Hey, listen.
Dream in the clouds. With
that's
the
fine. Apparently, Ralph and Dave are going to be drink boxing, and apparently it is happening, and apparently we start training today for our little Mexican friend, Dave Sanchez. We're going to talk. I think we're going to talk to somebody who may be helping him get in the ring and not become obliterated. I think that's coming up next, plus details on destination number four for KROQ's World Tour 2007 next half hour. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
We start training today. When Bean said that's the closest he's ever gotten to exercise.
That's correct.
Just by saying that statement.
Closest he's ever going to get, too.
Now it's over. No, that was his only chance.
I'm going to watch the fight, though. I mean, that's something, right?
Yeah, it takes
sure
a lot of energy.
Something. Congratulations to Little Miss Sunshine. They won the Producers Guild of America Awards over the weekend.
Excellent.
This is pretty interesting. 11 of the past 17 winners for the best motion picture at the Oscars was previously tapped by the PGA. So
no kidding.
This may be an indicator that Little Miss Sunshine has a good shot come Oscar time. It's interesting. 11 out of the past 17.
I think the Oscar nominations, Ralph, come out tomorrow, don't they?
I believe they do. Full list of winners is available at the website for the Producers Guild, but for Best Film, they chose Little Miss Sunshine. Best Animated Film was Cars. Best Long-Form Television, sort of a miniseries, Elizabeth I. Best Episodic Television Drama, Grey's Anatomy. Best Comedy, The Office. Best Variety Television, Real Time with Bill Maher. And Best Nonfiction Television, 60 Minutes, has won for its 97th consecutive year. So congratulations to them. Speaking of movies, top 10 movies at the box office this week, and Stomp the Yard, number one at the box office.
Wow.
Where are you from?
It's a sign of the upcoming apocalypse, by the way, that Stomp the Yard has been the number one movie.
I don't step. I battle.
$13.3 million made it number one. Night at the Museum made $13 million. That made it a close number two. The Dreamgirls movie was number three. The Hitcher was four. The Pursuit of Happiness, five. The Freedom Riders, six. The Pan's Labyrinth, seven. The Children of Men, eight. The Queen, nine. The Arthur and the Invisibles, number 10.
I saw The Last King of Scotland over the weekend.
Did you?
Oh, my God.
Isn't that great?
Forrest Whitaker is freaking scary. Yeah, it's amazing.
Baby news for celebrities. Congratulations to Lauren Ambrose. You may remember her as Claire Fisher on 6 Feet Under.
Mm-hmm.
She had a baby over the weekend with her husband, Sam Handel. So congratulations to them. And also Jenna Elfman from Dharma and Greg. She had a baby over the weekend as well. Her husband, of course, is Bodie Elfman, and they both want to know what your crimes are.
Give us some celebrity baby names, Ralph.
None listed.
Okay.
If I had them, I'd give them to you.
I heard Lauren Ambrose named her son Orson.
Orson?
Orson.
Nice.
I didn't hear about Jenna Elfman's baby, though. Don't know what that one is.
Orson Welles. You know the baby's name. Jenna's got to be Elron, right?
You would think, yeah.
Hub Elfman.
Hub.
What do we know about Scientology?
I know that it's about you go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere and then you sign a huge check and if you don't, they'll kill you.
Okay.
Sad news, Lindsay Lohan will not be allowed to leave her rehab facility to attend the premiere of her new movie, the Sundance Film Festival, this week.
Well, they're being a little strict.
That's cruel and inhuman punishment.
Come on.
Because there's no partying goes on up there in Sundance.
Hasn't she suffered enough?
Yeah. Only days after checking herself in, she has been rejected her request to go attend the opening of the new film, Chapter 27. Of course, stars Jared Leto.
Really?
You hate to even say it, don't you, Ralph?
I do, because I don't want to hear that noise.
That's bullshit.
Well, she's going to sit home where Jared Leto's up there at Sundance, banging booze and drinking chicks.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, I know you're going to go see this movie, but what about Jared gaining all that weight? Does it make him less sexually attractive to you now that he's playing fat?
No, because it shows he's dedicated to his craft, and that turns me on.
So he's going to be banging booze and drinking chicks?
Yep. That's what he said. Yep.
All right, that's what he's going
to
do.
He does everything backwards.
Mm-hmm. He's a wacky dude. Happy birthday to Diane Lane, very talented, beautiful actress. She was in Unfaithful. She was in that...
Must Love Dogs.
Summertime in the Italy Village. That was a good one.
Right.
It was fun. She's 42 years old today. Jazzy Jeff of DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince fame is 42 years old today. He wishes he was not him. He wishes he was the other one.
Anyone else, yeah. I wish I were Will Smith.
Beverly Mitchell, who plays Lucy on Seventh Heaven, is 26 years old today. Christopher Masterson, who plays Francis on Malcolm in the Middle, is 27 years old. And Balthazar Getty, from Alias and from Sons and Sisters.
Brothers and Sisters.
That. And also, I remember him first, I guess, from...
Terminator?
Dead Man Walking. No, Dead Poets Society.
Mom,
he was in was that. He in that?
Yeah.
It's going back.
Talented kid. 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
In the meantime, though, drink boxing is on the table. I don't know how it got started that Ralph came in one day and said he wanted to start beating up on Dave the King of Mexico, but apparently, what happened, Dave? How did this whole thing come about that you and Ralph were supposed to be boxing?
It started with me doing Taibo, and then...
That's right. Dave was doing Taibo.
Yeah, he was watching a DVD in his room doing Taibo, which was an exercise that was popular 20 years ago.
Just about.
Yeah, I don't know. And all of a sudden, and Ralph said, "Hey, we should box." And I said, "Okay."
So it's
sure,
like a charity event, and then the ball got rolling, and we started talking about what would make it interesting, and we thought drinking in between rounds might be fun. So drink boxing was formed,
of course.
Yeah. Now, Dave, you've never boxed though, right? Ralph has, as you know, part of his regimen of physical fitness has been taking some boxing lessons. He actually has a trainer and has been doing it for some time. You're brand new to the sport.
Well, you're gonna laugh, but I did street box a little when we were young. You
street
know,
box.
Yeah, we would box in, you know, neighborhoods. And
how young were you?
Maybe 10, 11.
Excellent. You're prepared. You don't need a trainer.
I mean, we were boxing, throwing boxing gloves, you know, had it out in the backyard. So
were you taught? Were you taught it?
No, never.
Yeah, well, then that's no good.
Were you like Ryan on the OC? You're just like picking fights, like whoever wants to box you, you'll box them? Is that how it was?
Yeah, we would bet, you know. It was awesome.
So we said to Dave, who do you want to train you? Because Ralph, as Bean said, already has a trainer. And Dave said, I want that guy from The Contender. That's the guy I want. And we have that guy on the phone.
Oh, no kidding.
Coach Williams, good morning.
Good morning there.
He's from Williams Boxing Gym in Long Beach. It's the gym that he founded in 1970 with some help from, Muhammad Ali.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow. How about that? Do you still stay in touch with the greatest at all, Coach?
Often as I can.
How about that? You know, he just turned 65 years old last week. It's quite a miracle. Well, Coach, you've trained probably hundreds, maybe thousands of people over the years. What do you do with a pudgy Mexican who needs to get in boxing shape within a couple of months? Is it possible even?
Oh, boy, yeah, it's possible. It's always possible.
Have you met him?
Not yet.
All right. Then, let's not be so sure.
Now, to be fair, Dave, you're not me. I mean, you're not a full-time couch potato. You are a guy who gets some exercise. You've got some cardio. You play basketball.
Yeah,
I'm
active.
Right?
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that plays basketball. When he plays basketball, Coach, his face turns red, and he's like a bull in a china shop. He'll just run over people.
Oh, he's massive. Dude.
Yeah, he's not massive. In his mind, he's massive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, apparently, your gym is right down the street from...
Yeah, it's right down the block. It's on Pine Boulevard, and I live right off of 10th and Magnolia. So
what kind of a workout schedule would you think Dave needs to do to get in shape in a couple of months?
Couple of months, well, he could take it easy, come in about 5 days a week.
Huh? 5 days a week, okay.
How many hours each day?
That's fine.
About 45 minutes to an hour.
Oh, that's cool.
That's
it? He'll
do that.
You'll do that, right?
Yeah, of course.
And then on his own, does he have to go into, like, meat lockers and beat up meat and run upstairs and stuff like that?
Well, he can put a little rocket to it, but that beach is probably wear him out down here in Long Beach.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, running in the sand,
yeah. Oh, damn.
Work him hard if he wants to put on a good show.
Yeah. Coach, everyone that I've spoken with, this is Bean speaking of the Kevin and Bean Show, and I've never boxed and likely never will, but everyone that I've spoken to who has ever been in a ring says that it is maybe the most exhausting sport that there is. There's nothing that wears you out faster and works you harder than boxing. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that.
The thing that I learned about it is even if you're not throwing punches, if you're not exchanging punches, but you're just kind of...
Throwing the combinations.
No. I'm saying even if you're not throwing any punches, right, you're exhausted by the end of 3 minutes because you're so tense.
Right.
Yeah, and you're moving around. You don't want to get hit. Even if there's no action, you're completely out of breath.
Yeah, you can't be more focused than you are at that minute.
There you go.
So we're thinking like 3 2-minute rounds.
3 2-minute rounds.
You think that would work, Coach?
That would probably work. That'd be a good show.
With some shots in between. Because of strength boxing.
And Coach, you recommend drinking while you train, right? I mean, that's got to be something you teach your students, right?
To drink while you're training?
Yeah.
Yes.
Water,
right. Yeah, that's what's going to be in the shot glasses. Your son, now, Jeremy Williams, is a record holder, isn't he?
Three times world record.
Check that out. We're not messing around here.
I know how to pick them.
Wow. Now, Dave, I have to ask, because I don't know how you are about stick-to-itiveness. Are you the kind of guy who will commit to this and will seriously take it seriously and do it every day for the next 2 months to get ready for this fight? Or are you the type of guy who's going to go for like a week and then go, it's too hard, I'm too tired, I can't do it anymore?
No way. Do you think I want to get my ass kicked, dude, in the ring?
No, not at all.
You know, I want to win. I don't want to just sit there and be Ralph's punching bag.
Coach Williams, you're the man. You're going to have to take the King of Mexico like some clay and mold him into a fighter.
That's exactly what I'll do.
All right.
That's what we want to hear. By the way, one of the things that we desperately need to get going quickly as this fight is only 2 months away is we got to come up with a name for the bout.
Ooh.
We got to come up with that. I mean, people are already starting to email in, you know, a fight, a Mexican and a white. You know, I mean, people do have some ideas. But I think you know, Coach, all great fights, you know, they have the Thrilla in Manila. They have some name that people can get excited about and get behind. So that's one of the things we're going to have to work on while we hand Dave over to you and you can work some magic with him in the ring, all right?
Yeah, we'll just let the name King come as he works out in the gym.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Coach Williams Boxing Gym in Long Beach. Thanks a lot for joining us today. We appreciate it.
You got it, buddy.
All right. Dude, you are set.
Dude, I'm so going to be ripped when this fight starts.
Yes, you are. Well, this is the announcement you've been waiting for, and we're going to, as you know, all this year and all every year, we send you away to exotic locations around the world to see great K-Rock music. And this week, we're happy to announce for you destination number 4. And I think we'll do it a little bit differently this time, because I think we'll announce the destination and the band first and then tell you what the qualifying prize is.
Excellent.
How's that sound?
Yes. And we're going to need some big music for that, too, if you don't mind.
Psycho Mike, can you find us something momentous enough for the occasion here? All right. Here's the deal. Destination number 4 of K-Rock's World Tour 2007 is the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Sydney, Australia.
Oh, I've always wanted to go to Sydney.
Crikey!
Yes.
Trip of a lifetime.
Always
Sydney, Australia. Red Hot Chili Peppers. Now, that is, of course, awesome. And like I said, a trip you'll never forget. And we will do that grand prize drawing this Friday morning at 7:50. And someone will get a call. Hey, mate, you're going to Australia. Now, here's my friend Kevin to tell you what you win to qualify for destination number 4 of K-Rock's World Tour 2007.
You get to pick Friday night, Saturday night, or Sunday night, April 27th, 28th, or 29th, at the Coachella Valley Festival. The Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. 3 days this year instead of 2.
Wow.
Night number 1. Here, where's the... There we go. Night number 1 is headlined by Bjork. That's Friday night, the 27th. Night number 2, headlined by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That's the 28th. Night number 3, headlined by, and I'm not joking, Rage Against the Machine.
Oh!
No. Yes. No.
What?
No.
Yes. Really?
You know, Kevin, bad news.
Not making that up.
No, bad news, Kevin. Dude. You didn't hear. They were together, and they were popular, and they were beloved by the K-Rock audience.
And
then you broke them up, and now they don't even speak to each other.
And they're getting back together for Coachella. And they're going to headline Sunday night of Coachella.
Wow.
Well, that's amazing. Rage Against the Machine you're talking about right there.
So here are some of the details. The daily tickets and the 3-day passes are available. Daily tickets are $85 per day. There's a 3-day pass at $249 plus applicable service fees. $1 per ticket goes to charity, which is nice. 2 stages, 3 tents. As usual, camping will begin Thursday night. You can camp for $45 for the entire weekend. And there are, as you know, at Coachella, hundreds of bands.
Yeah, throw some of the names out because, you know, we mentioned the headliners, Bjork Friday night, Red Hot Chili Peppers Saturday, yes, the reformed Rage Against the Machine Sunday night, but that's not all you get. Mention some of the other bands that you're going to get if you go this week.
You get the Arcade
Coachella.
Fire, you get Arctic Monkeys, you get Circus Survive, you get Black Keys, Ghostface Killah. Come on.
From the Woo.
The Woo. The Woo is good for the kids, right? Isn't that what
Absolutely.
I hear?
Absolutely.
You get the LCD Sound System, you get Lupe Fiasco, you get Peeping Tom, The Roots, We Are Scientists, Willie Mother Effin' Nelson is playing. This Fantastic. Is one of those shows where, like, everybody kind of fits somehow.
That's very
And you
very
get to
cool.
see all kinds of just bizarre different acts. So, let's see. Flesh Gordon is going to be playing. Handful of Vicodin, I think, is going to be on Saturday.
No. I think you're making those.
Boner Rigamortis is going to be opening on Sunday.
I don't think they're up the lineup either.
Vietnamese Canine Goulash will also be playing. That band is good. But as you know, hundreds of bands. 3 days. Coachella with Bjork, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and yes, Rage Against the Machine.
Wow.
The best goddamn band ever. All the info will be posted on krock.com in just a couple of seconds. And if you want to go, let's start that right now.
April 26th, 27th, and 28th. 100,000 people from all over the globe converge in the desert at Empire Polo Fields for 3 days of music. Coachella. Their first concert in more than 6 years. Rage Against the Machine. And Red Hot Chili Peppers. York, Interpol, Arcade Fire, and more than 50 bands.
Listen all this week to win tickets before you can buy them this Saturday. And you'll get on the standby boarding list for K-Rock World Tour number 4. The Red Hot Chili Peppers in Sydney, Australia.
You gotta call now to win tickets or you're gonna miss out.
800-520-1067.
K-Rock.
All right, let's play the damn song. Money, welcome.
Bears make every way, pave the way to victory.
You're a little fast.
The Bears game had been over, no joke, less than a minute when I got an email from former sports guy Money yesterday that said, you better be playing Rage on Chicago Bears, whatever the goddamn song is called tomorrow. You better be playing that on your show tomorrow. Otherwise, you're going to have me to deal with. So we're playing it for you, buddy.
Bear down, Chicago Bears. I thought I was going to have to talk about Jake LaVara and pretend I was Zach De La Roca for you.
No. Dude, 21 years. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this yesterday because there are still some football fans in Southern California, and it wasn't that long ago that the Raiders were in the Super Bowl. Wasn't really terribly long ago that the Rams were in the Super Bowl. But a guy like you who's been a Bears fan, you barely remember 1985, I would imagine. It's been so long ago.
Yeah, I think I was riding a green machine and throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
No, that was me. That could have been you, too. I don't know. Maybe.
No, it was. It's been a while. I mean, you guys know. You've known me long enough to know the misery that has been being a Bear fan in these last couple years. Well, you know, it was just, what, I think 5 years ago that they were in that that playoff game at home against Ralph Eagles, and they got their ass whooped. So.
Yeah, Money, our former sports guy, is a hardcore Chicago fan, and he's, for the longest time, been saying, yeah, but remember 1985.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Yeah, but what about 1985? And we're saying, well, it's 1999 now. What are you talking about?
And then it's 2000.
Defense, it's only 21 years.
Yeah, that's true. It is only 21 years.
And it's funny because, you know, Money and I were in touch in the season, especially as it got toward the playoffs of my Seahawks and his Chicago Bears. And you, even at that point, were not feeling entirely confident that they were going to continue their winning ways. I mean, you really had some reservations about the team and especially your quarterback, right?
Well, I said this on Friday. I said, you know, just to kind of paint the picture, cheering for Rex Grossman, the emotions that Rex Grossman causes are similar to those of a father dropping off his hot 18-year-old at Arizona State for her freshman year.
I'm not sure what that means, but okay.
It's nervousness.
Yeah, because he blows, Money. He's a bad quarterback.
Yeah, see, because Arizona State has a good science department, but they also party a lot.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
But you say he blows, he's managed to work his way to a great season and through the playoffs to the Super Bowl. How bad can he be?
I'll answer that question for Money. Their defense is good enough that they take away the ball and score because they can't trust him to do it.
Yeah, the thing is with Rex, and this is kind of where my head was the first six or seven games of the season. I think we talked about this. I mean, Rex was playing out of his mind. He was like the MVP of the league. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. I don't know if he wasn't getting the right weed anymore, but the wheels just came off.
Yeah, and then he started playing crappy. And then he kind of caught himself and ended decently well, but he can't win the Super Bowl. I mean, you can't have a quarterback that bad win the Super Bowl, can you, Money?
Yeah, but you know what? Peyton Manning's still doing commercials about pianos flying down the street jokes. I mean, come on. You can't have that guy.
Peyton Manning is funny, first of all.
You like those commercials?
Yeah, I do. I like especially the one where he's talking about the cell phone use and he's got the fake mustache on. I love that one. That's a very funny one. But here's
the one who also has the kid throwing the newspaper through his front window, too, right?
He's
funny.
He's a funny guy. Here's what bugs me about him, though, is that he won't hike the ball. He has to point at every defender and change the play 15 times.
I'll tell you my favorite thing about Peyton.
Drives me out of my mind.
This is my favorite thing about Peyton Manning and why I can't cheer for him as a quarterback. Because there's no athlete on the face of the earth I can envision having sex less than Peyton Manning.
No kidding.
Well, that was a category.
That's true, by the way. That is true. But right? here's a clip from Saturday, from yesterday's game. This is Peyton Manning under center and changing the play a few times. At this point, I'm thinking, just say hi. He's pointing at all the defenders. They snap the ball. That seems like it's a little long to me.
Wow.
And I'm guessing his teammates go, I don't know what he's saying.
Yeah, who knows what the hell play he ended up on, for God's sakes.
Can we go back, by the way? Can we go back to yesterday for a second?
Sure.
And all the pregame hype about the New Orleans Saints and how they were America's team?
Well, because of the tragedy in New Orleans, I mean, I think everybody kind of feels bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on, really?
Yes!
I mean, you know, come on. Kevin, you and I have been in New Orleans before.
Yes.
You puke in the street, you drink a lot of Flaming Dr. Peppers, and you hope you don't get lost because you're going to get mugged.
Well, there is
that. That's what you're cheering for.
There is that side. But
this always happens with every team that comes from an area that's had a tragedy. I mean, it was the same way, you remember the Yankees after September 11th. Oh, they're the team of destiny. They're the team that has to win because their area has been through so much. And of course, they didn't. They lost the World Series that year. I mean, people just naturally, they root for somebody who they perceive as needing a little boost is all.
You know what they got in Chicago? Christians. You know what they got in New Orleans? Haitian black voodoo.
You know what else they have in Chicago? Really nasty BS weather. That's what they have.
That's very true. That
blew. It was snowing and the field was all completely torn up. It was like they were playing in, you know, in a practice field or something. It was awful.
They flashed that statistic that said dome teams are 0-9 when having to go on the road for conference.
Yep, because it blows ass to go to Chicago.
This is former sports guy Money on the Phone. We're talking about his Chicago Bears. The Bears going to the Super Bowl on February 4th in Miami. I have to ask because I know you also watched the follow-up game yesterday.
Yeah.
What do you think about going up against the Colts now that you've seen what they can do when they're motivated?
Well, you know, that's a tough one. I mean, I know the early line's already out, and it's Colts anywhere from 6.5 to 7.
Yeah.
So that's a big favorite for a Super Bowl when you're more than maybe a field goal or 4 points. They're heavy favorites. It's going to be hard.
Those of you that didn't see, they were behind New England 21-3 at one point and came back and beat them.
Wow.
But you know why? Their quarterback wears fake mustache.
Because he's a great quarterback. He's got a laser arm from what I hear.
So, Money, I got to ask, are you going to the Super Bowl?
You know what? I cannot because the Lakers,
Really? The Bears are in the Super Bowl maybe for the only time in the rest of your life, and you're not going to be there.
Yeah, Lakers, Washington Saturday, and Atlanta Monday.
If the Lakers are playing the Wizards, I understand why you wouldn't want to miss that.
Well, you know.
It's the Super Bowl.
Work calls.
I'm going to be there rooting for the Colts.
I mean, look, Kevin, you and I have had many a great Super Bowl.
Of course.
Why would I want to go see the Bears play in the Super Bowl when we've had things like the Falcons and the Broncos?
Yeah, that's true. You've seen some bad ones.
The Titans and the Rams. I mean, you know.
So you're not going is what you're saying?
No.
But your Bears are going.
Bears going, money not.
And
you know what?
Well, Miami's not a big party town anyway, so you're not going to be missing all that much.
No, Kevin and I had much more fun in the freezing rain of Atlanta.
Remember when you dropped me off on that corner across the street from my hotel and there was ice across the road and I was drunk and I couldn't stand up?
Let's clarify here. You demanded to be let out of the cab, even though I suggested you not get out.
And then I had to scoot across on my ass because it was too slippery to walk.
Yes.
And I was a little buzzed. A little.
But at least your hotel was no more than 2 miles away.
That's correct. Yes, it was. Exactly. It was much further than I realized. Yeah, we've had some good times. Speaking of good times, I'd like to play your interview with Coach Ditka.
You know,
remember when we talked to Coach Ditka?
I think it's time for Lisa May to give.
And we gave Money a chance to say hi to him or goodbye.
I got time. Go ahead.
Oh, it was the best moment. Here it is.
Money, you want to say goodbye to him?
Thank you so much for everything, Coach. I really appreciate it. You've given me a wonderful life.
Yeah. He's gone.
Darn.
He hung up.
That's so funny.
He didn't hang up on me. He hung up on you guys. You ruined my moment.
Hey, he got his plug in.
I really wanted you to have that moment with him.
Which makes it even better.
better guy than we thought.
Doesn't get any older, does it?
That's the funniest thing that's ever happened.
My dog is old, and when he dies, I'm renaming my next one Lovey.
Lovey, by the way. All right, money. Well, I'll see you in Miami.
Wait, but see, because...
Oh, yeah. That's right. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Coachella, as we announced, April 27, 28, 29. Bjork is headlining Friday night, Red Hot Chili Peppers Saturday night, Rage Against the Machine getting back together to headline Sunday night. And you can pick your choice of nights.
You don't have to suffer through Bjork to see Rage, do you?
No.
Bjork's
Friday night.
It's not sort of a package deal where they force you to sit through Bjork in order to get to Rage.
A couple of times.
All right,
she's
great. You can see Rage, but you've got to watch Bjork first.
No, you can get individual days or a three-day pack. You can do either.
Ralph, she's a fantastic entertainer.
You could show up. You get a three-day pack. You could show up after Bjork, though, right?
That's correct.
I see. Okay.
But you wouldn't want to because you want to see Bjork, too, because she's awesome.
You can make the deal, but you don't have to suffer through
it's,
that.
It's 7:59 at KROQ FM passing Los Angeles. The one thing I think we can all agree on, you're dead wrong about Bjork, but the one thing we can all agree on is that Kevin doesn't get to talk to anybody from Rage Against the Machine. Is it a deal?
You guys understand people are starting to believe this BS.
Because it's true. You're going to screw it up somehow. You're going to say, why are you guys doing Coachella? They're going to go, if that's your attitude, we're not. And then boom, it's off. And then it's all your fault
again. My favorite band of all time.
However, I would like you to talk to Bjork if you could break her up, please.
Be more than happy to try.
I mean, literally, just into pieces.
I've seen her fight, by the way, in the video on YouTube.
Yeah, I know. She swings a pretty mean left. I wouldn't want to be boxing her. Drink boxing.
Showbiz beat.
Boy, does she suck.
Top 10 movies in the box office this weekend. Stomp the Yard.
Where are you from? $13.3 million. That's my neighborhood. Number one at the box office. Night at the Museum was a close second with $13 million. Dreamgirls was third. The Hitcher was fourth. Pursuit of Happiness, Freedom Writers, Pan's Labyrinth, Children of Men, The Queen, and Arthur and the Invisibles rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
I saw that Children of Men this weekend.
Yeah. Right.
What was it?
How was it?
Dark. Really dark.
Really?
I'll tell you.
Can't have kids anymore, and that's dark?
Yeah, it's a bummer movie. But you know that Clive Owen? Man, he's a great actor. I know you're a fan of his also, Ralph. He is just terrific in this.
There were rumors that Lindsay Lohan was going to be released from her rehab so she could attend the premiere of her new movie at the Sundance Film Festival.
Right. Because no partying goes on there.
The media claimed she was going to take a break from treatment to attend the film festival. I don't think that's how rehab works. Anyway, they have since corrected that. She will not be allowed to leave her rehab facility to attend the premiere of Chapter 27, the new film, also starring Jared Leto. Of course, the film's about Mark David Chapman, the assassin of John Lennon, days leading up to that event, and apparently it's pretty good. But sadly, Lindsay will be making her bed and washing toilets and smoking cigarettes, whatever else they do in rehab. Speaking of rehab, Paula Abdul said this weekend she's never been drunk.
Yeah.
Never?
Not once in her life.
Never once. Not once in her life.
Wow.
This coming on the tale of the three videos that have been surfacing in recent weeks on the internet. Three different interviews. Her doing press for this latest season of American Idol. Her slurring her words, giving nonsensical answers to questions, swaying in her seat. In one interview, she appears to fall asleep.
She says she was just trying to listen.
Look, aren't we just arguing which substance at this point?
Yes, I am.
Paula says she's healthy, sober, and is not under the influence of anything.
Nothing. So not Vicodin, not painkillers, nothing.
I've never been drunk, and I'm not under the influence of anything, she
said. That's bullshit.
Then she has a medical condition and she needs help.
And then she's having repeated strokes.
Strokes, yes. On a daily basis.
She needs to have a catheter put in some vein in her skull. Because obviously she's not getting blood. She's not getting blood.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
That's true.
The first 5 years of the show, no one said anything about how I behaved or how I talked, she added. It's because you weren't loaded the first 5 years of the show. Starting last year, you were all juiced up on something.
Allegedly.
Just because, she said, last year during one competition when a contestant was eliminated, Simon says because one of them ate pizza and the other one ate salad.
That's right.
Why would we think you're under the influence of anything, Paula Abdul?
Ain't that about a bitch?
Wow.
Jeez.
She might as well try to convince us she's an alien.
Why do the liar lies keep lying with their lying lies?
I don't know.
I think it's Memphis tomorrow night and then New York City on Wednesday, Kevin. You're going to have to jump on board, man. This season is taking off like a rocket, and you're just waving a goodbye at it.
No can do.
Can't get enough.
I'll listen to the bad people, and then that's it.
Troubled Grey's Anatomy star Isaiah Washington has fired his longtime publicist in the midst of his crisis.
Oh, it's his fault?
It's his fault.
Apparently it's the publicist's fault.
Right.
That he keeps using the F word regarding to homosexuals.
That's bullshit.
Last week, Washington issued a public apology talking about his co-star T.R. Knight and the derogatory comments he made about him, and has also agreed to meet with members of the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. This is the latest thing now. You apologize, then you reach out to the leaders, the community leaders of that minority that you slurred, and then you get to shake hands with them and get a picture taken.
And then you say you're sorry, and then they say okay, and then you leave, and then they say, not good enough!
Right. Then you come back and say you're sorry again, and the next thing you know, he's doing Rent on stage or something to make up for it.
Is he aware that they're all gay, the people he's going to be meeting with? Is he okay with that?
I don't know if he's okay with it, but I think his agent and his manager are super okay with it.
Sure.
Producers of Grey's Anatomy are thrilled with it.
Sure. Sure. So.
Isaiah Washington had a comment.
I need to drop down and get my thing together.
Well, good luck.
That's true.
And Britain's News of the World newspaper says the divorce settlement between Sir Paul McCartney and his soon-to-be ex-wife Heather Mills has been settled. According to the newspaper, she's agreed to a $63 million paycheck.
Wow. That is such BS.
So generous of her to agree to that, huh?
Heather also picks up Paul's $8 million home in northwest London and his Beverly Hills house worth close to $12 million.
I'm sorry, the $63 million wasn't enough for her to get a place?
No. You can't get a decent house for $63 million, wow. Kevin. You know.
She gets two houses
and $63 million. How the property market is.
That's BS.
You get like a one-room fixer-upper for $63 million.
What happens to their infant daughter, by the way? Where is she in all this? I haven't heard much about her.
Heather hasn't asked. Paul hasn't offered. No, I have no idea.
So the kid is like in a basket somewhere on the streets of London.
Ringo is raising her now. He's got nothing better to do. Apparently, Paul's daughters are very unhappy because they wanted to get into courtroom so they could trash Heather in front of everyone. And
we would like that, too.
Because of all the crap she's been, you know, saying about Paul, verbally dragging him through the mud.
Right.
So apparently this settlement will brush all those claims under the rug and we'll never get to hear the cat fight in court that we were looking forward to. Paul is willing to pay an arm and a leg to make her shut up. Well, a leg at least. Whatever it takes. Arm, leg.
In this case, leg.
Eye.
That's BS.
I was looking forward to it.
Me too.
I think she's a bad person.
Me too.
Someone needs to say so. Today's celebrity birthdays. Beverly Mitchell plays Lucy on Seventh Heaven. She's 26 years old today. Balthazar Getty, who I mistakenly identified as an actor from Dead Poets Society.
Right.
In reality, his breakthrough role was in Lord of the Flies, the remake of Lord of the Flies. He's 79 years old.
Lord of the Flies was the Asian version.
That's right. It's about working at McDonald's. He's 32 years old today. Jazzy Jeff. DJ Jazzy Jeff. DJ and friend of Will Smith.
Sure.
That's how he's known. 42 years old today. And Diane Lane,
uh-oh,
beautiful, talented actress, is 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
24 is tonight. It's one of my favorite TV shows. This season is dealing with terrorists inside the United States, and they have suitcase nukes. Here's a little clip from the White House conversation.
So what are we doing?
Suitcase nukes. The term refers to a number of devices manufactured by the former Soviet Union. Small enough for one individual to carry, and they have a yield of 1 kiloton or less.
How many casualties are we talking?
Taking the radiation into account, the number of deaths and serious injuries would multiply into the hundreds of thousands.
So that's bad.
Dude, I was watching that show this year, too, and all I kept thinking is, thank God I moved out of Newhall. I mean, I used to live right off, I mean, Sand Canyon was my exit off the 14th.
And,
gone.
And Bean says that because at the end of the fourth hour.
Can you detonate now?
Yes.
They set it off.
Yeah.
Which was really a shock, because up until this point, you're kind of led to believe that they're going to stop every single one. They get right up to the edge, and then they stop it. Then they get right up to the edge, and then they stop it. And the bomb actually went off.
So you thought Kiefer Sutherland's character, Jack Bauer, had had bad days before. Now everybody's having a bad day on the show.
Exactly.
But it is back, and it is one of the highest-rated shows on television. And there is a little bit of controversy. I don't know how much the controversy is this year on this topic, but we saw an article on it, and we wanted to find out more. The spokesperson for the Council on American Islamic Relations, the Southern California chapter, is on the line with us right now. Let's welcome Munira Saida to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Munira, welcome to the K-Rock. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Very good, thank you.
Well, we're great. I saw this this article that mentioned your group on CNN.com, and it mentioned that at least some of the people that were quoted in the article said they watch 24, big fans of 24. Are you? Would you consider yourself a fan as well?
You know what? When it first came out, I was hooked. I used to watch it all the time. And just because of work, I don't watch it as much, but it's a fantastic show. I mean, it prides itself on portraying extreme situations in real time. It's fantastic.
Sure. And is there an official position from your group about the plot line on this season? Because the articles seem to make it sound like there were some who thought, well, here we go again with the, you know, with the broad portrayal of Muslims as negatives.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, after having watched four shows, you just, an average American gets this feeling, this fear and hatred towards Muslims. I mean, there's this nuclear attack, and thousands of people have died.
What about this this dude that was a terrorist leader for so long, Hassan, the character on the show, has renounced terrorism, is helping them track the guys down, he's working with the Americans. Doesn't that balance out at all for you?
You know what? That's a good start. I would say that that's a good start. But for average Americans, what is a Muslim supposed to look like? I mean, for an average American who has not met a Muslim, they can't, you know, distinguish between fact and reality. I mean, I wear a headscarf. I wear the hijab, the Islamic headdress. And I was in the gym yesterday watching the commercial, the 24 commercial, and I was wondering, I was like, what are these people thinking of me?
Right.
Do they think, you know, this is a bad person or this is a good person? So that's where my concern lies.
But here's my question to you. Shouldn't you be mad at Islamic terrorists for that? Not at Americans, because Islamic terrorists are the reason people might look at you differently. Not Americans. It's not like Muslims come over here and everybody automatically is suspicious of them and there's no terrorism whatsoever. Shouldn't you be mad at them?
Well, I'm absolutely mad at them. I'm mad at terrorists. I'm mad at any criminal who's going to come here or homegrown terrorists. For that matter.
Right.
Or criminals, you know, drug dealers, murderers, rapists. You know, I have a family, and I want to be safe. And that's the whole point. I mean, Americans, for some reason, don't really understand that American Muslims are Americans, too. And we care about national security.
But
we care about protection of our country.
But again, let me just say that if there are any Muslims who are trying to harm us from within, like happened on September 11th, how is it not a natural kind of just a defensive mechanism to try and make sure that doesn't happen again? It's not our fault that that's happening. Here's a little clip from Saturday Night Live.
Muslim groups are concerned that the new season of 24, which features Muslim terrorists setting off a nuclear explosive near Los Angeles, will foster hate against them and create a climate of Islamophobia. Also creating a climate of Islamophobia, terrorism.
So there is that.
Munira, who do you want to be the bad guy on a show like 24? I mean, if they chose, as they have in past seasons, Baltic Europeans or Germans or Russians or, in case of last season, white president, I mean, should those groups also get upset because now they're being portrayed in negative light?
Well, I think that's a good question. I'm going to say a couple of things. The environment that we live in, you were asking me about Islamic terrorists,
right.
The environment that we live in post-9/11 era, and the fact that there are not enough positive portrayals of Muslims in the media.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you'd agree with that. And the fact that there's just not enough, there's a lot of misinformation out there about Islam and Muslims. Average American doesn't know what Islam stands for, what Muslim stands for. And there was a Gallup poll done that last year, that says that about 40% of respondents admitted to having some sort of prejudice against Muslims. I don't know if you saw that, but there were 22% report that they wouldn't want to upset neighbors.
And I'm going to repeat my question is, who should you be mad at?
We're not mad at anybody in terms of 24. We're concerned and we've taken our concerns to Fox. And we're discussing our concerns with Fox. And what happened about 2 years ago was we sat down with Fox and they came out with a nice PSA featuring Kiefer Sutherland.
Right.
And
saying that all terrorists are not Muslims.
Well received. That
right.
was very well received in the community.
Okay.
And I mean, at the end of the day, that's what's going to calm all Americans.
Munir, would you mind, because we're running a little bit late, would you mind holding on and then we're going to take some calls?
Okay.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry we didn't ask you ahead of time as far as timing-wise, but hold on. We'll take some calls at 1-800-520-1067 about the show 24 and how it treats Muslim Americans and whether the fears are founded or not. We'll take your calls when we get back.
Here's another new episode, episode 5 of the year of the Kiefer Sutherland hit TV show on Fox called 24 Tonight. On the line with us right now, a spokesperson for the Council on American Islamic Relations, the Southern California chapter. They're known as CARE, by the way. It is Munira Saida. Thank you for hanging on, Munira. We appreciate it very much.
No problem.
All right.
Quick email, then we'll get to a couple of phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. Dear Kevin and Bean, listening to the show right now, I'm a Cuban-American, yet I love the movie Scarface. While it does portray Cubans as drug dealers and criminals, it's a great movie. People need to lighten up. Hollywood is what it is. They pick themes related to current times. It doesn't mean, for instance, in 24's case, that all Muslims are terrorists, but at least admit that Hollywood's portrayal is not a fabricated, impossible scenario. Would you agree with that, Munira?
Okay, I think there's some good points in there, and I would agree that we weren't living in a post 9/11 era, Muslims wouldn't be concerned about this. Seriously,
right.
I mean, it's a good show and everybody enjoys it.
Right, but it makes historical sense because we are living in a post 9/11 world.
It's kind of like when the Russians were the bad guys all during the Cold War.
Yeah, but the problem is that has an effect on people. I mean, we've had more than 2,000 hate incidents against Arabs, Muslims, and those perceived to be Arabs and Muslims after 9/11.
Right.
So, I mean, people watch TV, and a lot of people who don't know about this minority, like 6 to 7 million Muslims living in America, you know, they'll get their ideas. They'll get influenced by TV.
I got to tell you, I don't think you're giving the American public enough credit to know the difference between the World Trade Center incident and a TV show.
Okay, that is true. I mean, there is that possibility. You're absolutely right.
I mean, are you actually tracking incidents based on the show 24?
No, I'm not saying that it's based on the show 24. Don't misunderstand me. All I'm saying is that there have been hate incidents after 9/11. There have been hate incidents against Arabs and Muslims, and those perceived to be Arabs and Muslims.
Right.
Yes, at the end of the day, it is a show. But my concern is that crazy person out there who's going to see me in a hijab, in the Islamic headdress, and say, you know, is she for reals, or what's her deal? And
I think you sound kind of hot, Munira, to tell you the truth. That may be off topic, but I'm getting kind of turned on here. Let's take a couple of quick calls, and we'll start with Jennifer in Whittier. Hi, Jennifer, you're on the air on K-Rock. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Jennifer.
I just feel like, because I'm an avid watcher of 24. I love 24. I got into it a couple years ago.
Right.
But I agree with Lisa. You're not giving us enough credit in being able to tell the difference between fiction and reality. And honestly, when I watch 24, I know it's fake. But when I watch CNN or Fox News or any local news channels from 2 to 13, you have Muslims and Iraqis and Israeli, everybody being portrayed in a bad light because they are really bombing stuff. So, I mean, maybe you should be complaining to them, not to a fake fictional show.
Well, to be honest with you, I think, as I told Lisa, I think she brings up a really good point. I'm not concerned about the average American, you know, who's
right.
intelligent and who can understand that, after all, this is just a show.
Well, let's not give
but
them too much credit either.
Is crazy out there. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm saying let's not give the American too much credit either.
But my concern is that crazy wacko out there, you know.
Yeah, I hear you.
Gonna be like,
I hear you. I mean, that makes sense, but I don't know that you can change all the TV shows to try and talk that crazy wacko out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the guy who tried to kill President Reagan just because he saw Jodie Foster in a movie. You can't say, well, let's not put Jodie Foster in any more movies because there might be a wacko out there who will want to impress her. I mean, there's nothing you can do about the crazy people.
And
let's face it.
I'd like to insert one more thing, too, and that's that I agree with Bean that Munira sounds hot.
Way hot. I got to be honest.
All right.
One more. Let's talk to Michelle. She's calling from the great city of Montebello. Hi, Michelle. You're on the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock with Munira Saida. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Okay, look, there are a bunch of crazies out there, but what are you going to do? This is entertainment, first of all. Unfortunately, it happened to us, and the first group that I'm aware of, I'm 38, and I've never heard of terrorism until 9/11. And who was it? It was
the people that did it to us.
Well, there's Oklahoma City, too.
Yes. Yes.
That was a white dude.
That's very true. But this was, I don't know if it's right to say more of an impact, because Oklahoma City was tragic also, but the 9/11 bombing, my God.
Well, I think it was the first time many of us had been attacked directly.
Right.
Instead of like overseas.
What's your point as this relates to the topic on the table about 24? Does that mean you excuse the way some Muslims are portrayed on that show? Is that what you're saying?
No, because you know what? I also watch Sleeper Cell, too, and that's an awesome show as well.
That is a good show.
And it really, I was hooked. In the middle of the season, I was hooked. And it gives us a better, I don't know, awareness, outlook, preparation.
Yeah, and it also, by the way, that show, as well as 24, has good Muslim characters. There are good characters. Oh. That show, Sleeper Cell, there's a guy who's infiltrating sleeper cells, and he's Muslim, and he's a positive role model. As on 24, they have a positive role model as well. This guy, Hassan, who is renouncing terrorism, although I'm not sure that it's going to stay that way.
Because they're really mean to him.
Thank you for the call.
I'm not sure I got Michelle's point, but I do think we've called a little bit more attention to at least where your group is coming from. And your last thing before you go, I mean, are you still in negotiation with Fox? Are you trying to get them to run the Kiefer Sutherland Public Service announcement again this year? Or what's your next step?
We're working with them, and we're in discussions with them. So hopefully that will lead to something positive.
Are there photos of you on the CARE website?
Well, you know what? We'll send you some material. How's that?
If by material you mean photos of you, yeah, absolutely. All right. Council on American Islamic Relations, our guest has been Munira Saida. Hey, you want to do traffic for us on the Kevin B. Show? Or anything like that?
Oh, dear.
Got an opening for you.
Some other day.
Thank you, Munira.
Thanks for joining us.
Window Liquor Nick invited us to his party on Friday night. And so far, we have recapped part of the party. One is where you arrive and he starts hugging everybody. Two is you, Psycho Mike, and Omar start talking about banging his mom. He's very uncomfortable with that. Three, he wants to get high. Four, you call me on the cell phone. Five, you ask him where the chicks are that he promised. And six, you ask him if Nick's parents' marriage is on the rocks. Now, he's not thrilled with you at this point.
No. He's kind of regretting inviting us, I think, at that point.
Well, when we last left the conversation, it was around 11 p.m., Mike. And how many people were at the Window Liquors party in La Crescenta?
Well, there was me, there was Omar, and then there was Nick's brother.
Seriously, three people and Nick?
Yeah.
And one of them is his brother?
Yeah.
At 11 o'clock at night? He told us this party was going to rage.
Yeah, that's probably right around actually when people started to really show up.
Okay.
Around 11.
People showed up.
All right, people Nick, easy. Up. Easy, Nick.
Yeah. Nick, why did people come so late, do you imagine?
I don't know. I was talking to my friend about, you know, a lot of my friends have been hanging out with for years. They just show up late, you know?
I'm one of the cool kids. We don't show up on time.
All right.
We went up here desperate.
We figure, look, there's not going to be a lot of point in us coming out unless Nick gets hammered. So we want to make it at least worth our while. So we start just shoving Jaeger down Nick's throat. I mean, literally.
Yep. Okay.
He was drinking a lot of liquor.
I feel drunk already.
What'd you drink?
Jaeger.
So where's your mom?
Enough about my mom, man.
And when Nick gets drunk, Nick's voice
does his voice get high?
Yes.
No, it doesn't. It goes up.
It gets higher. Listen to this laugh. And when Nick's drunk, he does that laugh every 14 seconds. So Nick has had enough Jaeger to you know, tranquilize a moose.
Okay.
So he decides to move on to marijuana. And the thing about Nick is that he doesn't have the best motor skills.
Right.
Okay.
Anyway,
so a lighter,
sober he doesn't?
Yeah, so a lighter to him is like a Rubik's Cube, okay? So listen to this clip of Nick trying to actually light a bowl. You have to work the lighter on your own.
You got to do it on your own. I showed you earlier. Dude. Remember.
Oh, it has the child safety on it.
Nick, light it, Nick.
You got
it. Is this my hand? Is this my...
I'm sorry, one more time.
What was that,
Kevin? What'd you say, Kevin?
How dare you?
So finally, he pieces together how to get the job done, and Nick...
Hit it, go.
I'm going to get so...
That was a huge hit.
Matt,
that was good.
Everyone's eyes are on me.
You're like Tupac. All eyes on you.
I'm like mother Tupac.
His voice does go up.
So
wow.
Nick might have tried to bite off a little more than he can chew, okay? Like about 10 ounces of Jaeger and two hits to the dome piece of the weed.
Right.
And he's sitting down, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, all that is happening while he's sitting down. He tries to get up really fast and walk to the kitchen to get some water.
Which can make you a little lightheaded, right?
And the floor just came up and got Nick.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
He just fell. He felt like he got knocked out with a baseball bat. He just fell straight to the ground. So I pick Nick up and
I said, always good at your own party.
Nick, what happened? What just happened?
What should I know?
You just fell over or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
The ground came up and got you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you feeling better?
I'm all right. I'm good. I'm good, man. I'm all right.
Hey, I have to ask, because one of the reasons that I almost got on the plane and came to your party is you told us you were going to have 20 smoking hot chicks at your party.
But it came after Mike and Omar left.
Right. But what I'm saying is that this tape that I hear, it sounds like a total sausage fest. There's like not one female voice on the tape.
Family, but I'm telling you, more chicks came. Swear my life.
Okay.
We had hot chicks.
All right. So Nick falls, and then what?
So I got to go back to my standard. Nick, what's up with your mom? Where's your mom?
What?
Where's your mom?
I love my mom, man.
Why are you trying to forbid our romance?
Because it's sick and unnatural.
He made the mistake of telling us that his mom and dad were going to be home. We wanted to know if she was hot, and he's very uncomfortable.
Here's what happened. Later on, like, you know, Mike tried to talk to my dad and talk to my dad about doing my mom, and my brother was like, no way, man.
All right, where are we in the tape? Then you call Alex?
I got to talk to Alex. Nick wouldn't shut up about her, goddammit. Everything. Do you think I have a chance with Alex, for real? I said, you know what? Why don't we just give her a call?
I drank some Jaeger, I smoked some pot, and I'm fine.
It's him being suave on the phone with Alex.
Yeah.
Because she's like, Nick, is something wrong with you? So Omar and I say our goodbyes, and Nick just, won't shut up.
She wants to know if you took a picture with my mom.
I'm sorry, Kevin. I still can't understand you.
It sounded a lot like Kevin after Vegas.
Mom fan all the time, him.
Nick, you rule.
I do rule.
Hard.
I'm tired of my party. I really am.
You need to have another one.
I'm going to. In a few months, I'm having another party.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Next time.
When you're recovered from falling, then you can...
There'll be no Jaeger, though. No Jaeger next time.
There will be no party, my friend.
There'll be other kinds of alcohol. I had bad luck with Jaeger.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's like you had the time of your life. I don't know what you're talking about, bad luck.
I enjoyed it, you know?
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Cool,
Take care.
Later, guys.
All right, bye.
Coachella.
Let's go to Coachella. All right. Rage at Coachella.
Sure.
Love Coachella. We have pigeons there. Look like turkeys.
Time for the showbiz beat.
I was addicted to Diet Right Cola.
I heard that.
And corn nuts. I'd feed them to my pigeons. They look like turkeys. They are pigeons. David Cassidy has pigeons.
Right.
Sometimes we'll race our pigeons. And
okay,
then we'll
Rodney.
Go to Tower Records and people will be there buying records.
Yeah, they went out of business.
Everyone go to Coachella to see live music. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Okay, Rodney, that's enough. We gotta move on. We got Ralph here with the showbiz beat now.
Throwing Rodney out of the studio. You guys are cruel.
I know. Sorry.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Stomp the Yard.
What the hell are they doing?
The stomp in the yard. Where are you from?
Oh, for F's sake.
Where are you from?
For frack's sake, as they say on Battlestar Galactica. I'm going to start using frack more often.
Frack?
Because it's almost there, you mother fracker. Frack you. What the frack?
It's certainly, that's a good...
really useful word.
It's good.
Use it
Ralph,
a lot.
You can thank Kevin and his people for some of that box office for this Stomp the Yard. He bought a ticket.
Oh, I know. That movie rules.
Doesn't rule.
Ralph, they stomp the yard. I don't step. I battle.
Oh, God. By the way, speaking of Battlestar Galactica, and I know I've been talking a lot about the series lately, but I'm sort of obsessed with it because I'm watching the box sets.
Right.
Next week, Trisha Helfer, by the way.
Oh, jeez.
The lovely model actress who plays number 6, the Cylon, the evil human-looking Cylon over there on the TV show.
Very human-looking.
She'll be coming in to hang with
Fantastic.
Us next week. So, a little heads up, a little programming note. Make a note of it. Night at the Museum was number 2 at the box office, then Dreamgirls, The Hitcher, Pursuit of Happiness, Freedom Riders, Pan's Labyrinth, Children of Men, The Queen, and Arthur and the Invisibles. Rounding out your top 10 box office this weekend. Interesting casting news for an upcoming motion picture. They've been talking for some time, well, threatening us, really, with a big-screen remake of Magnum P.I.
Right.
for quite a while now. They've been talking about that. Casting seems to be the sticking point. At some point or another, the following actors were attached to the project and have since moved on. Ben Affleck at some points was in talks portraying Thomas Magnum on the big screen.
Yeah.
George Clooney was in talks about doing it, as was Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
Any of those?
No.
Casting choices catch your...
Any of them would work. They're all good enough actors to do it.
Sure. Well, how about this one? The latest. Looks like this one might be the real deal. Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm going
to sign on to play the ultra-cool private detective originated by Tom Selleck on the TV series.
That makes sense.
Even better news. Rumor has it that Ross and Marshall Thurber, the guy who directed Dodgeball, will be directing this. So it looks like it may be funnier than not.
Excellent.
And might be a little reunion of the movie Sahara, in which Matthew co-starred with Steve Zahn and William H. Macy. Steve Zahn reportedly talking about playing Rick, and William H. Macy as Higgins, the British butler that used to work with Magnum.
Oh, that'd
I didn't
be good.
Watch that show much.
You never watched Magnum?
I really love Magnum.
Not really.
I never saw it. I don't think one time.
Ever?
What?
No, it's Magnum P.I. Why would you watch that?
It was cool. I've seen Magnum, for God's sakes.
He drove that Ferrari, and he went everywhere in Hawaiian shirts and baseball caps and shorts. He was like the most laid-back P.I. ever.
All right.
Higgins. Say that a lot?
Oh, Magnum.
Higgins.
Magnum.
Higgins.
And how about that theme song? Are we still talking about Magnum P.I.?
Oh, I can't wait for Magnum P.I. the movie. They got to use that theme song. Rocks. And horrible movies in the news today. Tomorrow, the Oscar nominations are coming out. Mm-hmm. Meaning that today, the Razzie nominations were released.
Sure.
For those of you who aren't familiar with the Raspberry Awards, these are the awards that mock the bottom of Hollywood's barrel. They award the worst performances and worst picture awards each and every year. Nominations this year, Basic Instinct 2
yes.
is in the run with 7 nominations yeah. for 7 sure. different Razzie Awards this year. Tying that nomination count is Little Man, Wayans Brothers comedy about the midget jewelry thief.
Sure.
Who plays a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, another 7 nominations for them as well.
I heard even Wayans Brothers movie fans were disappointed in that one, Ralph.
Hard to believe. If you're a fan of the Wayans Brothers, I'm hard to believe you would be disappointed by anything. Sean and Marlon Wayans were both nominated for the Worst Actor nomination. They're sharing a nomination, as are his sisters Hillary and Haley Duff for their performance in Material Girls.
Sure.
Other Worst Picture nominees besides Little Man and Basic Instinct 2 were Blood Rain, Lady in the Water, and The Wicker Man.
Starring Nicolas Cage. More of a wicker protector.
You seen the commercials for Ghost Rider?
Yes.
Yes.
Sometimes my skull bursts into flames.
An actual line from the movie.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
That's good. I like it.
Basic Instinct Tingle also got a nomination for Worst Screen Couple for Sharon Stone's lopsided breasts. That were shown in the film. Other Worst Actor nominations, Rob Schneider, who also appeared in Little Man, has been tapped for a Worst Actor nod, as is Tim Allen for Santa Claus 3, Shaggy Dog, and Zoom.
Wow. All three. We had a big year.
Nicolas Cage did get tapped for Wicker Man, and Larry the Cable Guy for Larry the Cable Guy Health Inspector, nominated for Worst Actor as well. So,
I think, Ralph, you pointed out at the time, you can't be the Cable Guy and be a Health Inspector.
No.
You got to pick, right?
If you're going to be an actor, play Larry the Health Inspector. You know, stretch your range a little bit. You can't be Larry the Cable Guy Health Inspector. No
right?
such
It doesn't
thing.
Even make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Did we decide whether you can or cannot get her done?
You can get her done,
can.
Apparently.
Okay.
Guys in the lab worked that out over the weekend.
Excellent.
I'm actually sort of a get-her-done protector.
Can't wait for Ghost Rider.
Whenever evil's around, my skull bursts into flames.
That's what he says.
Yes.
Awesome.
That's who he is. He's a superhero who makes a deal with the devil, and when he fights crime, he becomes a skull that bursts into flames.
Why would you want to make that deal?
I don't know.
It's a bad deal to make.
I think it is. He should look and see if there's any fine print in that contract. Today's celebrity birthdays, Diane Lane. We just love her around here. She's adorable. 42 years old today. Jazzy Jeff of DJ Jazzy Jeff and the French Prince.
That's a whole different guy.
Prince of France. 42 years old today. Balthazar Getty, who is on Sons and Daughters and also Alias, 32 years old today. And Beverly Mitchell, who plays Lucy on Seventh Heaven, turns 26 years old today. She was like 5 when she started that show, wasn't she?
Yep.
That show's been on for like 15 years, hasn't it? Seventh Heaven is like one of the longest running shows on television.
It does seem like it, yeah.
We got to stop that somehow. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Have you been following the story about the pandas in Thailand that
yeah.
won't have sex? They're trying desperately to get them to have sex so that they can continue the, you know, The pandas.
Species, yeah.
Well, pandas are notorious for not procreating, and especially in the wild. It's very, very difficult to get them to mate. They have low sex drives to begin with. They're one of those sets of animals that only has sex like once every couple of years or something like that, and very rarely does it end in a pregnancy, and it's very, very difficult. That's why they're on the endangered species list, partly.
Just because they won't do it with each other. Now they're putting one of the pandas on a diet because he's too heavy. He'll crush her.
Oh.
If he has sex with her. Yes. So they're putting him on a diet. So we thought we'd check in Thailand with the zoo. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Is this the Thai zoo?
Yes, this is Thai zoo.
Well, we're calling to ask about the fat...
Who's laughing there?
Nobody.
Who's laughing?
It sounded like somebody on your end.
No, I think it was your end.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
Is this a zookeeper at the zoo?
No, this is Cheng Cheng.
Oh, this is the panda.
Yeah.
You're the fat panda. Okay.
Yeah, panda.
First of all, Adam Carolla got a lot of trouble for saying Cheng Cheng. Are you sure it's okay for us
to hear? No, that's his name.
That's my name.
That's your name. Okay.
And he got trouble for saying Ching Chong.
Which is not. That's completely different.
Cheng Cheng.
Okay.
Very different.
You are not only a fat panda, but you speak English.
Well, not so well. I try speak English.
Mm-hmm.
I learn from porn films.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because it said some of the people there at the zoo in Thailand were honestly considering showing you panda porn.
Yes, to teach me how to put Wing Wang and Ding Dong.
What? What is panda porn? Where do they exactly get that from?
Well, pandas show up at door and say, "You here? I deliver pizza for you."
Right.
Then woman pandas say, "Come in. Would you like some bamboo?"
Right.
And panda delivery boy say, "Yes, but I have a stock for you right here."
They have the same porn music we do.
It's universal.
How about that?
But
Cheng Cheng, is the problem that you need the porn because you don't know how the pieces fit together? Or is it, as I understand, that you're just too fat for your mate?
Well, they show me porn to give me idea.
Right.
But the only idea I got was to eat more and just take care of business myself.
To have pizza. And, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, he does.
I just kick back and wax on, wax off.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
How much weight do you need to lose before you won't kill your partner having sex?
I got to lose about 10 kilograms.
How much is that?
I don't
in
know.
Pounds.
In pounds. Yeah. I don't know. I am not from your country.
I see. Okay.
You
right.
Do some math.
I don't know how to do that.
Lazy motherfucker.
I'm sorry, did you say frack?
Fracker, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Fracker. Just
oh, you're watching the Battlestar Galactica too. I see.
Maybe that's the problem with your sex drive.
Maybe.
Cheng Cheng, don't you feel like you have some obligation to keep the species alive, though?
Nope.
I mean, really, because worldwide, pandas are an endangered species, and it seems like we need panda babies, and that's in your department.
That's tough. Tough darts.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm living my life.
Is Mrs.
I can't worry about species.
Is Mrs. Panda not attractive to you?
She needs a wax.
No.
She's a hairy bitch.
Well, she's a panda. She's a bear.
But still.
Not a woman.
Come on. You know? Clear cut the forest a little bit down there. You smell like a zoo.
Oh.
Or maybe it's the zoo.
Yeah, that could be. You're in the zoo, so that could be it.
I think the problem is my cage keeper keeps feeding me too much.
Oh, is that right? You keep eating too much.
He gave me this thing called Thai stick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but it tastes good.
Yeah? And that makes you want to eat?
It makes me want to just lay around and eat.
Yeah.
And not have so much bang bang with Ling Lo.
Yeah, that Thai stick, I think, is pot.
What?
Time for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew at 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
Well, let's see. How about a pair of lift tickets to join K-Rock this weekend at Snow Summit and Bear Mountain? Snow now arriving at Big Bear, along with passes to an advanced screening of Smokin' Aces. That's this Thursday. That's got your pal, the Piv, in it, doesn't it, Ralph?
Pipster.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Pipster's in it.
Looks good in it.
All right, let's begin with Jenner in Los Angeles. Good morning, Jenner. What it do, nephew?
Hey, what it do, nephew? Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Jenner.
You know, my head's still spinning. I wanted to say that I have an early nomination. I know it's only January 20-something, but how about this woman for Woman of the Year in Chicago who induced labor so her husband would not miss the Chicago Bears game?
Yes, she induced labor so her man could watch the Bears.
That's a wife right there.
Wow.
How about that? But I'm still, my head is reeling. Kevin, I thought you broke up Rage Against the Machine.
How dare you?
Now
you
broke up Audio Slave.
Exactly.
How dare you all?
The woman was only 2 months pregnant, too, which I thought was really cool of her.
That seems a little early.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
She could have waited.
Just put the baby in a teacup.
Jason in San Dimas, good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hi, Jason.
Lisa May.
Hello.
Hey, I just want to talk about the beer boxing, you guys. Are you guys still going to do that?
The beer boxing? You
beer boxing?
Drink boxing?
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yes, we are. We're going to do it the day before St. Patrick's Day, as far as I know. It's the 16th, I think.
Oh, that's going to be great,
March 16th.
Are we going to be able to watch that somewhere?
I believe so, yes.
We're going to invite you to come on down. We're going to sell tickets to this thing, and all the proceeds will go to charity.
I'll supply the drinks.
All right, good enough. Let's go.
We're in the very early stages of planning this, but yeah, tentatively, it's going to be March 16th at a location to be decided, and it's going to be Ralph versus Dave, the King of Mexico. 3 2-minute rounds, I guess, is what Ralph is wussing out about.
And Dave and I were talking about this, and we decided that all the proceeds will go into a purse, and then the winner will get the larger percentage of the purse to give to his or her charity.
Like 60-40 or something?
Exactly,
like
yeah.
It.
The winner gets 60%, and 40 goes to the other charity, so no charity gets left out.
But Dave's charity is going to be Dave. I mean, we really do need somebody to vet him, right?
No, he's got a new charity, apparently. It's something about taking care of wild wolves. It's very concerned with the wolf population.
That's what he saw at the last Coachella, by the way.
I saw a wolf.
Scott in Torrance, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, party people? How you guys doing?
Good.
We're good.
Good. I wanted to talk to you guys about the Luke Robitaille retirement party or celebration they had on Saturday.
I was there on Saturday night. The game was supposed to start at 7:30, and
at
8:30.
I actually work for the Kings. I'm part of their Kings crew.
And at
are you in charge of timekeeping?
30.
No.
They were still cleaning up to begin the game.
No way.
What?
They were a little upset per se that it did run a little late, but it was an awesome Saturday.
Hour.
Wow.
It was fantastic. I mean, I love Luke Robitaille.
Well, good riddance, and I'm glad he's gone. He causes that kind of delays.
He's a great guy. He's funny. He's personable, but an hour is a long time for a ceremony.
It really was. But I for what he's done for L.A. and for the Kings and for the whole hockey in L.A., I actually think it was kind of worth it, you know?
Did you get a mini jersey?
How many years did he play for the Kings, Kevin?
16, I think. How many years?
Okay. 14, actually.
14 years. Okay.
14 years of hockey love with the Los Angeles Kings, and you're bitching because the ceremony went about 20 minutes longer than you would have liked.
I'm saying, I think Wayne Gretzky was 24 minutes or something like that. So it's a little long. But listen, I love him. I think he was great. I love the game. You know, it ended about one. That was good. All right, let's go to Brandon in Calabasas. Good morning, Brandon.
The world's hardest game.
Try again, Brandon.
All right, well, dear nephews, I just wanted to call and express my excitement at the lineup of Coachella. So far, I've heard Tiesto, Rage, and Red Hot, but I'm nervous about Kevin and Rage, so I kind of want to keep you away.
Listen, Rage Against the Machine is my favorite band of all time.
Uh-huh.
Then why did you break them
up? I did it for the final time.
Kevin, I just can't have you breaking them up again.
I didn't break them up. I brought the information to the air that they had broken up. It was already done when I said it.
If we get the opportunity to talk to any of the guys in the band ahead of Coachella, as I think we do, Kevin is not allowed in on the interview. We can't risk it again.
Are you excited about Bjork, too?
I'm not, no.
He's off the phone.
I already put him on hold.
Ralph, you mock, but she's terrific in concert.
Stop
I'm telling
it.
You don't know what you're talking
with
about.
With your BS, Barry
what
Manilow, Edmund Fitzgerald, loving BS.
What about people who have gone to see Bjork in concert and have loved her? I'm one of them. What about that?
But
I'm basing it on experience.
Your taste is useless to the rest of us here on the planet Earth.
She has millions of fans around the world. It's not just me. She's awesome.
We might need
so
to
does Yanni. It doesn't mean it's good just because there's millions of fans for it.
Let's talk to Chris in Glendale real quick. I know we have no time, but we need a differing opinion on Nick's party because Mike painted it out to be not a great party. Chris begs to differ.
Hi, Chris.
What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do? You were at Nick's party?
Yeah. For what it was, Nick pulled it off.
For what it was.
Standing
with faint praise right
and
there.
And what was it?
It was a small group of people he knows with a bunch of free booze.
Okay.
What about all the hot chicks that were promised, though?
Yeah, I didn't think he'd follow through with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a little taste of the party.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight.
That was a huge hit. Matt, that was good.
Everyone's eyes are on me.
You're like Tupac. All eyes on you.
I'm like motherf***ing Tupac.
I didn't think his voice could actually get higher.
Wow.
But it did.
He is this generation's Tiny Tim, isn't he? I want to thank all of our many guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Munira Saida, who, by the way, I'm convinced is hot. The spokesperson for the Council on American Islamic Relations. Thanks for joining us. And don't forget, there's a new episode of 24 tonight, just for you, at 9 o'clock on Fox.
Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new show. We're going to talk to Steve Wozniak. He's one of the people who created Apple. We have James Brown, Body Watch 2007 begins. We have to find a name for our drink boxing night. That's very important.
Drink boxing night.
Yeah. Let's see.
Well, right now, the leading contender, Ralph, as I understand it, is a fight, a Mexican and a white. I mean, I think we can do better than that.
I hope we can do better than that. We have a crazy earthquake lady that says her hands start shaking before an earthquake. And
she's
her
warning
hands
us.
Are shaking.
Yeah.
Mine shake during one.
And Bob Saget will be in the studio tomorrow morning, and we will continue giving you a chance to qualify for a chance to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Sydney, Australia, by giving you tickets to the Coachella Valley Arts and Music Fest.
10 o'clock at Caracu FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. Sublime Santeria on the way. Also some Linkin Park. We got Pearl Jam, Muse, Foo Fighters, Modest Mouse, their new one called Dashboard, and so much more right after this on K-Rock.